So my name is Kyle Enger. I work for the Michigan Department of Community Health, primarily with our immunization information system, the Michigan Care Improvement Registry. And I'm going to discuss immunization exemptions. Just to give you a quick overview of how we do this in Michigan, immunizations are required for school entry, but by and large, the process to get exempted is pretty easy. Usually, in most counties, just basically signing a piece of paper. We have allowed medical, religious, and philosophical exemptions since as far back as 1978, probably earlier than that. Our child care facilities also report exemptions. I'm not going to discuss those today. I'm going to mainly concentrate on kindergartners and sixth graders. And in the literature, exemptions are usually referred to as exemptions. In Michigan, for some reason, we call them waivers. So if I should slip and talk about waivers, I'm talking about exemptions. Okay. Public and private, whether or not a school is public or private, they must report their immunization levels and immunization exemptions to our public health system. Originally, this reporting was only required for kindergartners and for other students who happened to come in mid-school year. However, in 2002-2003, we began to require reporting for sixth graders as well. At that time, we also began requiring reporting by medical, religious, or personal belief or philosophical exemption type. And for the 2005-2006 school year, all of our schools really became users of our immunization information system, the MICR. And what that gave us is the ability to look at exemptions at the individual level and also by the specific vaccine that was being exempted. Before the schools were using the MICR to report exemption data, we had a different DOS-based program which was called CSRS. And that only reported to the state aggregated data by school building. As I said, we now have individual level data from the MICR. The numbers and charts that I'm going to show you are from the entire state of Michigan except Detroit. Unfortunately, I had to exclude Detroit because there were some data irregularities, some odd patterns in their data, really huge numbers of medical exemptions, for example. We weren't really sure what that meant, so we had to exclude them. So just to give a quick overview, the long blue line is the number of children with at least one exemption from 1992 out to 2006. And you can see that from 2000 to about 2002, we see a rather steep increase in the number of children with at least one exemption. And when you see in 2002, when we started getting waiver type, you can see that most of our exemptions are philosophical, followed by medical, and we have a relatively small percentage that are religious. And just to give you a sense of what these quantities mean, at the peak in about 2002-2003, that corresponds to a rate of roughly 5.5%. Of kindergartners with at least one exemption. Now, on my computer, we didn't have that stupid animation, so I'm sorry for that. Anyway, one possible reason for the sharp uptick in children and kindergartners with exemptions from about 1999 to 2002, that's the time period when we started requiring hepatitis B immunization and varicella immunization for school entry. So that may explain a fair amount of that increase. It also may have something to do with the fact that the MMR autism controversy was getting a lot of play in that rough time period. However, as you can see, we don't have individual level data about this in our systems at that point. We could look into this, but it would probably involve digging through an awful lot of paper records. I hope to do that someday, maybe if I can get a couple of students in or something. So if we take the individual level data that we now have from the MICR and process it in such a way that it's comparable to what we were getting from the old system, we see that there's a reasonable amount of agreement. But in 2005, the individual level data seemed to be showing much lower numbers of children with exemptions, and that may well be because the schools were still getting used to the new MICR interface. However, there were also some changes in the way exemptions were tallied and reported in 2005-2006. Those differences may account for the apparent decrease in the aggregated data. So, although it seems to indicate that there might have been a drop in children with exemptions in 2006, most likely what we really had was a continuing plateau. Now, all of this has been just kindergartners. If we look at the same data for sixth graders, the numbers of exempted children in sixth graders is a bit lower. We have roughly about one-third fewer exempted sixth graders than we do kindergartners. Philosophical exemptions are still the most common, followed by medical and religious. Again, same pattern as in kindergartners. The two data sources, the aggregated and the individual level data, they agree a bit better in the sixth grade data. We're not entirely sure why that is, but it may have to do with the ability to preload some demographic data regarding sixth graders into the MICR when we were doing that transition. All right, so just to reiterate, those charts that I just showed you describe the number of exempted children. Therefore, they somewhat overestimate the impact of exemptions, because a child is exempted whether they've exempted from just one vaccine or from all five vaccines that are required for school entry in Michigan. And historically, what we've done is we've assumed that these exempted children are really exempting from everything. But we don't know, before recently, we didn't really know for sure whether that was the case or not. And we can now get at that because we have access to individual level exemption data from the MICR. So if we look at children with exemptions and we look at the number of exemptions per child, we can see that the most common number of vaccines exempted is one. 44% of kindergartners of exempted kindergartners were exempt from only one vaccine. That goes up to 63% in sixth graders. However, the second most common number exempted is five, which is to say all of them. And if you look further at the vaccine type, it's not shown on this slide, but about 65% of children with five exemptions are claiming religious exemptions. So if you're religiously exempted, you are far, far more likely to be exempt from everything. If we look at the particular vaccines which are exempted, that's sixth grade on the left and kindergartners on the right, we can see that in the sixth graders, varicella is the most common vaccine exempted. And the other vaccines are, you know, fairly similar to each other. In sixth graders, the least common, the vaccine that is least commonly exempted is polio. In kindergartners, it's a little bit different. Varicella is just slightly more exempted than other vaccines, and the least commonly exempted vaccine is hepatitis B. But as you can see in the kindergartners, there isn't that much difference in exemptions for any particular vaccine. Now, again, using the MICR, we of course have immunization history information about individuals as well as their exemption status. So we can look at children who have exemptions and find out if they end up getting immunized. And what we see when we do this is, if you look at kindergartners, say among kindergartners who had a DTaP exemption, about 23% of those children end up getting fully vaccinated for DTaP. And you can see that magnitude is pretty constant among all vaccines. In sixth graders, the numbers are a little bit lower, but we still see substantial minorities of exempted children who end up getting fully vaccinated. And as you might expect, children with religious exemptions are much less likely to get immunized. Children with medical exemptions are the most likely to get immunized. And this is kind of an interesting finding. It probably has a lot more to do with a loose definition of what a medical exemption is than anything else. You know, people may be, and this is just conjecture, but there may be a fair amount of medical exemptions that are basically being used to, you know, cover up a provisional immunization status or something like that. So just to sum up the basic conclusions, Michigan's exemption rate is quite a bit lower than we had originally assumed. After accounting for a number of exemptions per child and exempted children who later become immunized, our exemption rate goes from 5 or 6% to down around 1 to 3%, depending on the particular grade and the particular vaccine that we're looking at. Also, religious exemptors are more likely to be exempt from all vaccines and to remain unimmunized. I just one thought about this before I close. I don't mean to give the impression that immunization exemptions are something that we don't need to worry about because it's a small proportion of the population. As I'm sure that many of you are aware, people who are exempt from immunizations tend to cluster together in where they live, as well as the particular schools and churches they go to. So even if the percentage of exempted children is very low, you can still have pockets of exempted children where coverage is extremely low and where it's easy to get an outbreak started. And that's what I have. We have time for a couple questions? All right.
Thanks, Kyle, for that talk. I have a quick question. So with your exempted kids, have you looked at yet, I know there's a million things you could want to do with these data, but looking at, let's say the kids, you said it was the most common, either one or five, or mm-hmm. just one or all of them. Have you looked for those kids who had just one to see the nature of where that came into play, perhaps to cover a invalid dose administration, like MMRs too early, that kind of thing? Have you guys looked at that yet?
That's a fantastic thought, and that's something that I would like to do. I just haven't gotten there yet. We certainly can do that. We have information in the registry about whether doses are valid or not, so that is that would not be too difficult to do.
Put that on your list.
Yeah, I will. It's already there. Thanks, Kevin. Yes and no. The schools have their own assessment logic, which is used to define whether they're compliant or not. And public schools, at least, there's a funding penalty if they don't live up to a certain compliance level. But when we look at coverage as defined by the registry, we don't really pay attention to exemptions. Either a child is covered or they're not. And when we report coverage levels from the MICR, we don't. Yeah. And we're really interested in whether people are vaccinated. If they're exempted, for the most part, they're not vaccinated. And we will count them, and, you know, and if somebody's not vaccinated, we just count them as not vaccinated. We don't even look at whether they've got an exemption or not for the purposes of the greater registry. For schools, it's different. Well, most of our exemptions are reported by schools. We do get a few provider entered exemptions because the way the MICR works in Michigan, our schools are basically able to view the immunization records of their children and find out whether they're up to date or not. And so it's possible that a provider can enter an exemption, and the school would basically see that right away. However, in practice, the lion's share of our exemptions are entered by schools. Yes. It is very good. I can't throw a number at you, but Bob can throw a number at you.
We have 95% of our schools reporting through the registry, and 89% of our
Yeah, because if they can get the immunization record straight out of the registry, they don't need to pick up the phone and call a healthcare provider. They can just sit at the registry and crank through all of these kids that they have. So it's a big time saver for them, which is an go ahead, Bob. Which is a big advantage, big time saver. Well, if somebody is a bona fide healthcare provider, they can use the MICR as if they were a healthcare provider, and if they had those credentials and they worked for a school, I imagine they would do it that way. However, for the most part, the schools, when they report, the schools can report immunizations, but we have a lower level of trust in that information, of course. Because a lot of these are school secretaries and they're not clinically trained. So what we do with that data is if a non-clinician person in the school is entering data, those data are not visible to the clinician users because we don't want them looking at those data and thinking that it's gospel and that the kid has really had those vaccines. There is a process by which school-entered data can be validated by a clinician. I don't know offhand how frequently that's done, but for the most part, school-entered data is only visible by schools. Well, they could, but it's the same situation for them. Yeah. And we had, I have that a little bit right here, but I haven't gone into very great detail with it. Yeah, that's an excellent distinction, and I just haven't gotten there yet. But thank you.
Kyle.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, at least until recently, our exemptions didn't really have a time limit on them. What we've more recently begun doing is purging exemptions from the registry just before the school year starts. So basically requiring schools students to re-exempt if they need to. However, since exemptions are only required to be reported at kindergarten, sixth grade, or mid-year school entry, it's not real clear how huge an effect that will have. But yeah, as far as we talk about kind of more to the point of what you were saying, we have provisional immunization status in the registry. So if a child is behind because they're waiting for a minimum interval or something like that, and that can be accounted for, but it's not really we don't tally that as an exemption really.
Can I comment?
Oh. Yes.
Right here. My name is Rebecca Thomas. I'm from Detroit, Michigan. I just like to comment as far as an exemption. Every year, a student that is exempt has to report a new exemption every year. So therefore, giving that child or parent a chance to just, make another decision whether or not if they want to receive shots. Also, as far as verification, as a local health department, we verify those immunizations that the school enters. And if they come through our clinic, and then we also have the school to send over those records in order for us to verify to make sure that is a valid shot.